Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're going to get to our guest, Hogan Gidley, here in just a second, but I wanted to tee this up. Sometimes I feel like if I'm going to play The View on your radio, that I need to give you the heads up. Not to turn it off, but just to, you know, brace yourself. When I was in the Blue Angels, a Super Hornet, and we were going to hit 7.5 Gs, the pilot would say, ready, hit it. And I kind of feel like what I would do is flex my whole body and try really hard to breathe in and out. It's kind of like that. Just the same thing. I'm going to play for you The View. Because what they say here is so incredibly stupid and backwards, I think it's important for us to understand where they're coming from.
He is a highly emotional, reactive human being.
Uh-huh.
It's not response. Responding to someone takes thought and is usually careful. He is only reactive. So I think he just has to start slow. And I would prefer he doesn't mock him, because mocking is Donald Trump's weapon. He does it well. Let him do that. Beat him on calm topics that will just make him
What if Trump says something about his son, about Biden's son?
I think
that's a trigger point. I think
Biden is a real statesman, and I think he will rise to that occasion, right? And we know who Trump is. He's a convicted felon.
34 times.
I like the spa-like music in the background there to try to ease the pain. After, when I was flying with the Blue Angels, after we were done going through 7.5 Gs, he would say maneuver complete. So congratulations, folks. Maneuver complete. The View hosts there talk about how Biden needs to remain calm and get Trump to lose his mind. That's why our YouTube poll is, how should Donald Trump approach the Thursday debate? Should he be aggressive or should he be calm and not attacking? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. And let's ask that question to our guest, Hogan Gidley, who joins us again, America First Policy Institute's senior advisor for communications, a former national press secretary for the Trump campaign. Hogan, welcome back. It's good to have you.
Great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me in.
You bet. You know, when I think about a debate, it's kind of a masterclass in communications, because if you're not communicating your message to the viewer, then you're losing. What do you expect to see between these two individuals on Thursday, and what do you want to see Donald Trump execute?
Well, I think it's one of the most consequential presidential debates we've seen in modern history. Obviously, the country's divided in a way we've not seen in a while. And, it's incumbent upon Donald Trump to point out the significant differences that these two men have while serving as president of the United States. And that's very unique. This isn't a governor saying, hey, if you elect me, I promise I'll do, you know, in the country what I did to my state or for my state. These are two men that have records as president. And if Donald Trump can stick to that and point out the fact that while he was president, you could afford gas and groceries, that there wasn't crime spiking all over our city streets. There wasn't fentanyl pouring into our nation, killing our American citizens, human trafficking, child smuggling, a wide open southern border, wars breaking out all over the world. Those are clear differences. And if Donald Trump can continue to point that out, I think he's going to do really well. And remember, you hit this and it's right. You have to kind of message your points and your policies so that you get people on your side. But the policies actually impact people in a way where no amount of good messaging can sell a bad product. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very difficult for Joe Biden to go out there and say, look at how great you have it now versus how great you had it 4 years ago, because people feel differently because they've been experiencing these bad policies. No amount of good messaging. I'm a comms guy. Everyone wants to blame the comms people. Listen, this guy's got nothing to work with. So it's going to be hard for him to kind of put positive spins on things. And if Donald Trump can call him out for lying about it, then I think he's going to be in a good place at the end of the night.
What's it look like over in the Biden camp right now? I don't know if you are firsthand aware, but he certainly has been taken off the grid. I've read reports that they have to readjust his sleep schedule so that his best waking time is when the debate is happening. I don't know how accurate that is. But what do you truthfully anticipate debate prep for Joe Biden looks like?
Well, look, I think the stories have been pretty clear that they have kind of a real setup, a mock debate with several stand-ins, with several helpers who've gone to help other presidential candidates as well. You know, people are lamenting the fact that they can't believe Joe Biden's going to Camp David for 7 days and basically abdicating his responsibility as president to go prepare for a debate. And I would argue he's been doing that from day one. My goodness.
Yeah.
He spends more time on vacation fighting with a pool chair, a beach chair, than he does, you know, fighting for the American people. So The further he's away from the White House, the Oval Office, kind of the better for the American people. But he's obviously taking this seriously. Listen, we know Joe Biden has steep cognitive and physical mental decline. That goes without saying. But they will hop him up. They will pump him up with some version of, you know, debate Viagra for that hour, and he'll be fine for that time period. Okay, he'll be fine. So everyone's like, oh, he's going to stop mid-sentence. Now, if he stops and freezes like he always does, that's going to be devastating, and I wouldn't be surprised if the left tried to change out the candidate. But I think, based on all performances in the past, Joe Biden's going to get up for this one. He's going to do what he can, and they're going to do everything they can medically to keep him up, and then also, as you said, adjusting sleep patterns and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. Trump should ask for the debate to last longer than 4 hours. Just kidding. Anyway,
yeah,
Hogan Gidley with us right now. He is a communications expert and has worked very closely with Donald Trump. The question for us on our YouTube poll today that I ask my listeners is about Trump's demeanor. And, you know, I believe that the number one opponent that Donald Trump is facing in this election is the facade that has been created around him by a very anti-Trump media. And all of the punditry that comes along with that, that the biggest opponent that Donald Trump has is cracking the surface of that and letting people see Donald Trump for who Donald Trump really is. He's certainly making trips to places that he wouldn't traditionally have gone, I think previously, the Bronx, Philadelphia, among other places, to do that. What's the appropriate plan of attack for Donald Trump in this debate on Thursday with his demeanor, his aggressiveness? What do you want to see?
Well, I think that Donald Trump has a very unique opportunity here, as again, to butt their records up side by side. You don't necessarily have to point out that Joe Biden is in steep physical, cognitive, mental decline, as I said, because I think people know that. What you need to say is basically he's incompetent, that his policy prescriptions have hurt the American people, and you need to really drill down on that. In addition, you need to set the tone and point out the fact that Joe Biden lied to the American people countless times in the last debate about the Hunter Biden laptop not being real, about his family not getting any money from China, things like that, and say what this guy's going to tell you is a complete and total lie, and if he can fact check him in real time, even better. But he needs to point out that Joe Biden has a history of this, of making stuff up, telling fake stories all the time, whereas Donald Trump jokes, Joe Biden says things are real and they're not. But again, this comes down to how these two men and their policies really impact the people. And so if he can draw the distinct differences between the successes of his administration versus the failures of Joe Biden's administration, I think he'll be really good.
We're speaking with Hogan Gidley right now with America First Policy Institute. I wonder how much policy is really going to be discussed. That's, you know, what you would hope that voters would be most interested in, this policy versus that policy, because that's where you can, you know, follow a path to who's the best choice for you as a voter. But I assume there's going to be a lot of convicted felon conversation. We've got Jake Tapper moderating it. He's been very unfair to Donald Trump in his reporting of him. How much do you anticipate the questions, the line of questions, and the moderators to affect this debate?
Oh, if the moderators are the story, then it's a failure. But I expect them to be part of the story, in large part because they can't help it. Listen, I watch these folks all the time. I was on recently on CNN, and I just pointed out, it's just interesting. You know, when they reference Eileen Cannon, the judge down in Miami, for example, overseeing the Trump's document case, they characterize Eileen Cannon as Trump-appointed judge Eileen Cannon, which is true. Trump did appoint her as a judge in Miami, okay? Mm-hmm. But when they say Judge Juan Merchan in New York, they don't say Biden donor Juan Merchan.
Yeah.
Because what they're trying to say, what they're trying to do is show you subtly, one of them is biased because of Trump, but the other guy isn't, even though he's donated to Biden, or his daughter raises millions of dollars for Democrats, makes millions of dollars on the very case that her father is, you know, presiding over. So little subtleties like that will add to the bias because they just can't help themselves. And quite frankly, I think it's what they want to do in large part. But I hope they're not the story here, but I can't imagine that they're not going to be at some point. And honestly, Donald Trump may make them the story.
Yeah.
He may call them out for their lies about Russia, for their lies about, you know, all sorts of things as it relates to Trump world. And that would be a fascinating thing, too.
Mm. Hogan, we had Jamie Lisso in our studio on Friday. He was in town to do a couple of shows, and he was talking about his experience with Donald Trump, or a lot with the people who are around Donald Trump. And he said on the air here, he's like, Donald Trump is kind, he's generous, he's funny, he's attentive. Like, he's just everybody who Jamie meets talks about how genuinely nice and good of a person Donald Trump is. And that is the black and white of what the Jake Tappers of the world, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, what we've seen so much from the media, how they try to paint Donald Trump. You have a ton of firsthand experience with Donald Trump. So let's set aside the politics of it and set aside the Joe Biden contingent and the moderators part of it right now. What do you wish people knew about Donald Trump?
Well, I was just with him. He spoke at the Faith and Freedom Coalition, and wrote a majority at Ralph Reed's event this past, I guess it was Saturday. And I was with him there. We talked for a while. And, you know, his compassion for the average American to me has always been kind of interesting. Not because I never thought he'd be compassionate, but, you know, billionaires, people who are so successful in that way, and, you know, properties all over the world, you just don't think they have that kind of heart. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times he just stops in one of his properties and he'll talk to someone who works there, you know, folding tablecloths or towels at the pool, and just say, how's it going, my man? How's it going, young lady? And they'll talk for a minute. Everything good? Now, listen, you tell me if there's anything wrong, you know. And he talks to them, and there'll be plenty of times when he sees some struggling person on television and he'll say, Hogan, I saw this person on a TV show this morning, and they're facing, you know, whatever challenge it may be. And he'll say, hey, you call my assistant and make sure we give them $10,000 or whatever it is. I mean, he does stuff like that all the time. Never wants credit for it. Doesn't want you to tell somebody about it or put out a press release or call in the media. He just does it. And that to me speaks so much to who he is. And look at his children. I mean, my goodness, his children all love him to death. His children work with him in a lot of ways, too, in their companies and other ways. And that just speaks to the kind of father he is, too. I just, you know, I wish more people knew him like I did. But I will say, what you see on that debate stage, what you see on those rally stages behind that podium, that's exactly how he is in private, making the jokes, messing with you all the time, loves to jaw back and forth about golf and whatever else. He loves that kind of stuff, and he loves people. He is an entertainer, yes. But at the end of the day, he really is kind of a host. That's what he does at his properties. He wants to make sure you're comfortable. He wants to make sure you enjoy it. And if there's a problem, he fixes it. That's just who he is. And he's been talking about the problems we faced as American citizens now for decades. The guy didn't need this. He sure didn't need it twice. Okay? And he's done it now twice because he thinks the country is headed in the wrong direction. If he can be a small part of fixing it, or quite frankly, as president, a big part of fixing it, he's going to take that opportunity, and that's what we're seeing now.
Last question, Hogan. Do you believe that America is starting to see the Donald Trump that you know more now than they have in the past?
I hope so. It's hard when every lever of power and influence with the media and big tech and colleges and universities and Hollywood all come out and say you're a bad person for a large portion of the people in this country to go, wait a minute, I don't believe that, you know, because the onslaught is so big. But I do think at this point in time, the policies that really did help people under Donald Trump, we remember that. It wasn't Reagan. We don't have to point back to the 80s. We can just say 3 years ago I could afford gas and groceries. 3 years ago we were feared and loved and respected on the world stage like we aren't now. So I think they can kind of see through some of what the mainstream media has tried to portray, the caricature, and realize that this man is someone who deeply cares about this country and deeply cares about the American people.
Yeah, this Thursday is going to be a huge opportunity for him to do that. Thank you, Hogan. We love your insight, your experience. It's really helpful for our listeners, so we're always grateful when you have some time for us.
Anytime. Thanks, Annie.
Thank you, Hogan. Hogan Gidley, America First Policy Institute's Senior Advisor for Communications. He's also the former National Press Secretary for the Trump campaign and the former Principal Deputy Press Secretary for the Trump administration. Hogan Gidley. Quick break when we come back. Wiggins America, Monday Roundup. The stories that you didn't know happened this weekend. Well, that's what we prioritize here this upcoming segment with Ryan Wiggins. Join us in just a few minutes as Ryan comes back in the studio, and he'll stick around for a little bit. We got Jay Ashcroft. He's going to come on to the show at 1:25. He is the Missouri Secretary of State. He's also a candidate for governor of Missouri, and we'll talk to him about a few things that he is pushing, including Missouri tax relief that he's saying needs to happen right now. He has a promise for a taxpayer bill of rights. What is it? He'll tell us at 1:25. Jay Ashcroft then. Ryan Wiggins next.